khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
What about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
The Northern Virginia chapter of the National Ovarian Cancer Coalition hosts the 12th annual Run Walk to Break the Silence on Ovarian Cancer, Sunday, May 18th. All proceeds fund education, awareness, and quality of life programs. Event day festivities include family-friendly activities, refreshments, live performances, and much, much more. For information and to register, check out the upcoming events page at ovarian.org.
The Family Crisis Center of Prince George's County invites you to this 7th Annual Charity Motorcycle Ride Against Domestic Violence, June 14th at FedEx Field. This event helps women and children at the Family Crisis Center's Safe Passage Emergency Shelter, as well as supports anger management and abuser intervention programs. Register to join the ride, $25 for bike, or make it a family day. Filled with great food, music, games, and best bike contests. Can't make it to the event? Consider sponsoring a rider for only $25. All donations are tax deductible. Call 301-779-2100 for more information.
News updates on the web at WOLDCnews.com.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Good morning and welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Now for today's show, here's attorney Ethel Mitchell.
Hello, welcome. This is attorney Ethel Mitchell. This program is being brought to you by Wills and Trust, LLC. If you or someone you know needs a will or a trust, power of attorney, medical directives, or help with administering an estate, call me at 202-772-1988. That's 202-772-1988 in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. The law is such a powerful thing that it impacts everything we do. And this program is to try to teach you about how the law can empower you. Each week I bring you professionals that work with the law every day. The month of April, our theme has been the law and how it impacts churches and nonprofits. Last week, attorney James Montgomery, a tax expert, joined us to discuss the requirements of an application for a 501c3 or designation, when you need one and when you don't need one. Previously, attorney Erica Cole, the church attorney, discussed church compliance. Reverend Dr. Michael Chambers started our program by discussing legal issues that confront churches. Today, we have an excellent program with an old friend of mine, attorney Antonio Orocho. He's going to talk about practical things that help nonprofits to develop, thrive, and grow. We want you to be part of the conversation, so write this down. My executive producer, Stacy Royster, is standing by to take your comments or your questions. Call us at 1-800-450-7876. That's 1-800-450-7876. Or tweet us at LawTalkEM. I must remind you that what you hear on this program is for information purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is established by anything that's said on this program. Each person and each organization's circumstances are different, so you must seek individual counsel for any situation for which you need legal advice. We're going to talk to attorney Antonio Orocho. Antonio Orocho, or Tony as I know him, is from the Virgin Islands. He's a Soto, and people who are from the Virgin Islands know what that means. He comes from a wonderful family. He's based in Washington, D.C., And he is focused on serving the legal needs of nonprofits, charities, trade associations, and socially responsible businesses. Attorney Orocho earned his law degree from Seton Hall University School of Law and his bachelor's from Rider College in New Jersey. He is admitted to practice law in the District of Columbia, the U.S. Virgin Islands, the U.S. Court of International Trade, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. Attorney Orocho wants to make a difference in the way he practices law and helps his clients make a difference in their community. He has more than 25 years of experience at the international, national, and local level in advocacy, policy, fundraising and development, managerial and constituent member services concerns of nonprofit organizations, NGOs, and trade association. He provides what I think is a unique service by acting as interim executive for nonprofits and trade associations on an as-needed basis. He served as the former executive director of the National Hispanic Bar Association. Antonio Orocho, or Tony as I know you, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me on as a guest. I greatly appreciate it and look forward to speaking to your listeners today. Thank you, Ethel.
Well, I'm so glad you're going to share your expertise, both as a lawyer and as a practical administrator, executor for many nonprofits. So tell us, often people want to do good things in their communities. Sometimes they actually know of grants and other resources that might be available to put to good use to provide services that the community can use. But can you even get a grant or a major donation without the 501c3 designation?
Yes, it is possible. It is not necessary to form a new nonprofit corporation right away to implement your good deed, your charity, your nonprofit concept.
How would you do that?
There are many alternatives, and the one I'm going to focus on today is physical sponsorship.
Okay.
And physical sponsorship is an idea where it's an alternative where another nonprofit with a 501c3 status serves as the mentor, the managing agency for this concept, the nonprofit's concept.
Okay.
And
they are able to get the grant and use their 501c3?
It's possible to do that.
Okay.
It's an alternative, and it's an appropriate alternative for groups that are just starting out, someone with a new concept, who may not have the resources, financial or personnel resources to implement the program.
Mm-hmm.
So we seek out someone to help you incubate this concept.
Okay. So tell me, what is the relationship between the fiscal sponsor and a budding group? What do they do? How does it work as a practical matter? I take it you've done this with several organizations.
Yes, we've done that for several groups. For example, there was
I think you told
group,
me
they, the group that wanted to create a food pantry.
Okay.
They didn't have the resources to do it. So what they did is they sought out the assistance of a food pantry in a nearby community,
mm-hmm.
and developed their concept as a project within that nonprofit.
Ah.
And were able to create a pantry in their community. And many different types of groups use this concept.
So they kind of use the 501c3 of another organization with a similar purpose.
Correct.
Okay. And are they able to learn as well as they're able to use the money that comes from that other organization? Do they go out and get the resource? Do they go out and get the grant or themselves?
They can actually go out and seek the funding. What's key in this whole relationship is that there be a agreement between both parties, the 501c3 and the new entity or new project, as I like to call it, to funnel the funding, the money from resources, whether it be federal or private charities, through the 501c3 through to the project.
I see.
So the key is having a agreement that spells out the terms and conditions of the relationship.
Uh-huh. And you've prepared these kind of agreements and helped people with doing this before. Is that right?
Yes, I have. Yes,
okay.
I have.
Okay.
And it's important to memorialize the relationship between the sponsor and the physical sponsor, the sponsor
okay.
of the patient.
And the people who are like the, let's call them the budding organization, the new organization, they're able to follow their dream, if you will, of providing services while and get the money, even though they're not themselves a 501c3. But I take it they could probably learn from managerial things, accounting, things like that from the quote-unquote parent organization, so to speak. Is that would that be correct?
Correct. Some of there are great advantages for this.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the budding group would be able to receive tax exempt deductible donations through the 501c, the parent organization.
Uh-huh.
So easy access to funding.
Okay.
And funding would be tax deductible to the person making the donations. It also allows them to get off the ground faster.
Uh-huh.
Because it allows them to test drive their idea. It allows them to operate a little less formally than is required under the IRS rulings and regulations for tax exempt organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And then also allow them to get the technical assistance and administrative support that they may not have within their budding group, and have make the use of those services from the sponsoring entity.
I see.
What kind of services, office space, and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. What kinds of difficulties do you find that new organizations often run into that this is perhaps a possible kind of solution for?
Well, initially is the funding, the resources. It costs quite a bit to incorporate a nonprofit. You're looking at attorney's fees, IRS filing fees, $800 or more, state incorporation fees, and those resources many groups do not have.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they do not have the plethora of other services available, managerial services, managerial advice, technical advice, and things of that nature, which they can obtain through the sponsoring group.
I see. So the sponsoring group can also give them these kinds of services as well as help them with getting the money.
If agreed upon, yes.
If agreed upon, right. We're listening to attorney Antonio Orocho. You can reach him at 202-204-2218. You can email him at info@orocholaw.com. That's AROCHOLAW.com. Now, tell me, Tony, where do people go to find these kinds of fiscal sponsors? I mean, where, if you have an idea, like I know a lot of people have had wonderful ideas about things that they could do in their community. They know there's money out there. How would you go about trying to identify a fiscal sponsor, like what you're describing?
Well, the key is finding someone with a similar type of mission, an entity, whether it be a church or already freestanding group at the local, national, regional level, who may have a similar mission, and approach them. So there may be people within your network already who
uh-huh.
may be potential sponsors.
Okay.
If that's not the case, you can always, there's wonderful resources at the Foundation Center in D.C., where you can look up and use a resource to find similar type of societies or institutions that may be ideal fiscal sponsors.
Okay.
The other resource, the National Council of Nonprofits, they have some great resources on the website for fiscal sponsorship.
Okay, the National Council of Nonprofits.
Nonprofits, correct.
Okay.
And they're on the web. And, uh-huh. of course, as I mentioned earlier, the Foundation Center, which
uh-huh.
is located in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
And another resource which could provide legal assistance, free legal assistance, is the pro bono program of the District of Columbia Bar Association.
Oh,
they
okay.
also have great resources, too.
Okay, that's great for my listeners to know. I hope that people are writing this down, because a lot of people have great ideas. They just don't know how to get started. What are the kinds of areas that you find in general nonprofits need help with? I know I've only worked with one nonprofit, but it seems like fundraising and advocacy and management are huge issues. What kinds of issues do you find that in your practice that you find people have trouble with?
The primary areas are fundraising. Always the difficulty of finding funds, whether it be through governmental resources or through other charitable resources. It's just harder now than it has been in the past to find to get fundraising.
I see.
Funds. That's been a major problem for organizations. Uh-huh. The other area is management.
Okay.
Having the skill sets accessible to run their nonprofit. Now, there are so many things that need to be done from the managerial standpoint, from compliance and other areas, and they're always seeking assistance. There's always a need, and there are resources out there that can be used and utilized to assist them. The Foundation Center and other groups that have resources available for them.
That are available for nonprofits or for just general organizations, I take it, socially responsible organizations that want to do things. Is that right?
Exactly.
Right. And, of course, they can always call you and hire you to help them.
Well, I provide some services. I provide interim executive services.
How does that work? What do you mean? Like, I remember you explained to me one time if somebody resigns and they're looking for a new replacement, is that something that you've done?
Like, basically temporarily fill the professional roles in the organization.
Uh-huh.
For example, when there are changes either in the financial operational changes in the organization, maybe the chief operating officer or the chief executive officer resigns suddenly.
Uh-huh.
There's a void. There's a need for someone with expertise to come in and fill that void until a new person is hired. And I've done that on several occasions, the organization.
Including
the Bank National Bar Association.
Uh-huh.
So those are resources that most people don't know, and most nonprofits aren't aware are available out there.
I had no idea that was even available. I had no idea that was even available. Would this be available also for, like, church organizations that may have freestanding charitable or nonprofit entities like schools or, I don't know, other things that they are running? Because many churches have very large nonprofit organizations that are active separate and apart from the religious part of their services that they offer. Any kind of organization could use these services, it sounds like.
Yes, there are individuals out there who provide all types of services at the executive and managerial level for nonprofits and small businesses. So there are people like me out there.
How would an organization find people like you? I mean,
generally through word of mouth. I don't know if there's a trade association of people who do interim executive services, but basically it's word of mouth. Sometimes people through word of mouth, or they contact the Foundation Center or some other national or local entity and ask for someone who can assist in that area, or CO services.
I noticed that, even though we've been mainly focusing on churches and charities and nonprofits, you also have experience with trade associations. Tell us, what are they, and what is a trade association, and how does that work?
Sure. Trade associations are a type of nonprofit organization, and what they do is represent the interests of their members. A trade association could represent a group of professionals, a group of persons, a group of people in a specific sector of the business or nonprofit world. So there are trade associations for attorneys, bar associations or trade associations.
I see.
Associations for manufacturers, for insurance companies, insurance agents, for the National Education Association is a trade association.
I see. Uh-huh. And those can be really powerful groups.
Oh, they're very powerful. They're 501c6 groups, so they're allowed to do advocacy work. And some are very powerful.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the National Rifle Association is a trade association or a nonprofit. I'm not sure. It may be a trade association, and if it is, it's one of the powerful ones.
Right. So that's an avenue for people who have a particular point of view, or they have a particular interest that they should look into as well, that they want to advocate. You call that, what section of the code is that organized under?
501c6.
C6, okay, that's
good. It's a subsection 1c, nonprofit law.
So they're nonprofits, but they're different from the 501c3.
Correct.
Okay. That's important. I hope my listeners are paying attention and learning, because there's a lot of really good information out here that can really use. When you have a 501c3 organization, are there any other areas that you would want people to know about that they need to pay attention to?
Well,
in particular.
Nothing in particular besides making sure they comply with the IRS regulations and state and federal laws.
Mm-hmm.
What type of service they're providing, it's important that they be in compliance with all federal regulations.
Okay.
State, local, and regional.
Last week, Attorney Montgomery talked about having to file, is it a 990 form every year? Is that something that has to be done?
Yes, just like individual, a nonprofit files a tax form every year, which is called a 990. And that's filed by the, or is it, it's an informational document sent to the Internal Revenue Service. For those 501c3 entities that are registered as charities with the Internal Revenue Service.
I see.
And it's an informational tax return, basically.
Uh-huh.
It's a tax return for nonprofits. And that's on a yearly basis.
And they are open to the public, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't that correct?
Yes, they are available to the public. And they can be actually online. The Foundation Center has available a resource where you can actually view 990s around the country.
And does that say where they get their money from as well as how they use it?
It indicates unless their sources. The actual name of sources may be whited out, but unless the type of resources they get, the salaries they pay, and
the salaries they pay. That would be very interesting. That would be very interesting. I often think that sometimes people who are out there advocating certain things, it would be good to know how much they're making, you know? That would be very interesting to find out. We're talking to Antonio Orocho. He's an attorney that specializes in helping nonprofits and organizations. You can reach him at 202-204-2218, or you can email him at info@arochola.com. I am Attorney Ethel Mitchell, and you're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I forgot to mention at the beginning that I do want you all to go to my website, please, and to the Facebook page, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com, and like us there and tweet us. This is going to be the last of this series of programs about nonprofits and churches. We're going to start a new series in May, and we're going to go in a whole different direction. We're going to start with talking about military law and veterans benefits. We begin the series in May with Attorney Howard Cooley, who is a military law expert, and he's going to talk about sexual harassment in the military. So that should be hot. Everybody should listen into that one. The next week, the following week, we're going to have Attorney Cheryl Chapman Henderson, who's going to talk about benefits that are available to veterans and their wives or widows, and many benefits a lot of veterans don't even know they have. The following week, we're going to have Attorney Amanda Blackman, who works with the Veterans Administration. So please keep listening in, tell your friends, go to Facebook and subscribe to our weekly e-blast about the program. Hit us up on Twitter at LawTalkEM. Also, let me know if there are particular subjects that you would like us to address. I would like to know, I mean, I have a lot of ideas, but if there's something in particular that you would like us to address, please let us know. You can email sroyster at lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com or ethel@lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. Antonio Orocho, thank you so much, Tony. I really appreciate you coming on and enlightening us about nonprofits. I'd like to know a little bit more, if you don't mind, about how nonprofits can go about raising funds, how they can go about learning how to operate properly. Can you give us just a little bit more information about that before we go?
Fundraising is the key to the livelihood of a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And there are great resources online. The American Fundraising, AFP, American Fundraising, I forget the type, but there is a trade association of fundraising professionals on the web, and there are wonderful resources available
okay.
on
and
the
web. What is it called? AFP? AFP?
AFP, I believe it's AFP.
Okay.
American Fundraising Professionals, I think it's
okay.
called.
All right. That's good. That's good to know.
And that's a great resource there. And, of course, another great resource on fundraising and is the Fund Foundation Center. They have numerous programs. They're open to the public at their center on K Street, and they also have a center in New York City where they provide courses on fundraising and,
oh,
and other topics for nonprofits. So those are great resources for nonprofit groups or persons considering creating a nonprofit.
Or wanting to do that kind of work.
Or wanting to do
sometimes people want to do this kind of work, but they don't know where to get started.
Right.
Right.
And if there are people who are interested in becoming professional fundraisers, the AFP is a great resource.
Okay. I know when I worked with...
Of fundraising professionals.
A long time ago, and I don't know if you're familiar with the University of Indiana, had a fundraising school that was excellent for institutions, for colleges, universities, things of that sort. I don't know if you're familiar with them, Tony, but...
Yes, I am. And I think they're still... They still operate the program.
Well, those of you who are interested in starting and operating nonprofits, fundraisers, funding sources for churches, because we talked in other programs about how churches can receive donations. Churches may have their own separate organizations that they can receive donations through. Please listen up and call Attorney Orocho or email him at info@orocholaw.com. Contact me again. I'm Attorney Ethel Mitchell at my website, which is Wills and Trust LLC. I do your wills, I do trust, I do power, I do medical directives, and I help with the administration of estates in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. So if you or anybody you know needs that kind of assistance, please feel free to call me at 202-772-1988, 202-772-1988. I hope you've enjoyed the program. Thank you very much, Tony. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Yes, thank you for sharing your important information. Have a good day and listen in next week for a really good and hot program. Thank you. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 11:30 a.m. for another informative broadcast. To reach Attorney Mitchell, you may do so by calling 202-772-1988. That's 202-772-1988. Or log on to her website, www.lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com.
Is breakfast really the most important meal of the day? At Buffalo Wild Wings, we think a case can be made for lunch. Think about it. Award-winning hand-spun wings in 16 signature sauces and 5 seasonings, buffalitos, wraps, burgers, and salads. Yeah, we're thinking that's a pretty good argument. Now throw in the fact that we've got over 50 big screens to watch all the sports you'll ever want. It's officially a no-brainer. So next time, make lunch your game-winning meal.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Do you have student loans? Are you worried about making your payments? Don't worry, we can help you. If you're behind, if you're late, or even if you are in default on your student loans, we can help consolidate your student loans into one affordable monthly payment and cut your payments right away. We provide student loan relief, getting you relief from your student loans fast, no matter how much you owe or how far behind you are on payments. Call our established aid toll-free assistance line right now at 800-967-7516. We can fix fix your student loan problem guaranteed. And this is a government program, so there is no credit check. You may even qualify for the government's income-based program, which means you could pay as little as $5 per month. Call 800-967-7516 now. We've helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loans. Our specialists are waiting for your call. Call 800-967-7516. That's 800-967-7516. Again, 800-967-7516.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started.
My entire chest.
Shortness of breath.
Very fatigued.
Nauseated. Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy. I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart. No way.
Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body. Go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can't fight.
Visit covidforwomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
1450 WOL, Washington, D.C., and WPRS HD2, Waldorf, Washington, a Radio 1 station, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Harris for Journey to Wellness. Around half of the current 90,000 patients on some kind of organ donation waiting list are African Americans, but there is a shortage of black organ donors. Victoria Dent, chairman of the Linkage to Life program, says part of the problem is that potential donors don't tell anyone about their donation decision.
Make sure that you inform your family because they make the final decision for you.
The Lynx organization has published the Can We Talk Conversation Guide.
Start the conversation and how not to focus on death, but focus on life.
Shows that the transplant gift is more likely to be successful with a better tissue match that shows up among the same few be a donor.
See if their state has a state registry. They can also sign the back of their license or a donor card.
There's more at JourneyToWellness.com. I'm Dr. Mary Harris.
What would you give? What would you give for our babies? What would it take for you to show them how much they're worth? Did you know that thousands of premature babies die every year as a result of not getting their full 9 months?
I need to know, am I worth it?
Hi, I'm Heather Headley. Join me and the March of Dimes in the fight to reduce premature births in our communities. Join us. Together, we can make the research and education possible to help more women get their 9 months. Visit marchofdimes.com today. Marchofdimes.com. Saving our babies. There's nothing more worth it in the world.
I'm Dr. Mary Harris for Journey to Wellness. Around half of the current 90,000 patients on some kind of organ donation waiting list are African Americans, but there is a shortage of black organ donors. Victoria, chairman of the Linkage to Life program, says part of the problem is that potential donors don't tell anyone about their donation decision.
Make sure that you inform your family because they make the final decision for you.
The Lynx organization has published the Can We Talk Conversation Guide.
Working on how to conversation and how not to focus on death, but focus on life.
And research shows transplant gift is more likely to be successful with a better tissue match that shows up among the same race. If you'd like to be a donor, Dent suggests...
See if their state has a state registry. They can also sign the back of their license or a donor card.
There's more at JourneyToWellness.com. I'm Dr. Mary Harris.
Do you know that something as simple as knowing your pharmacist's name can make a huge difference in your health? I'm pharmacist Karen Reed. Studies show that consumers who have a relationship with their pharmacist know more about their medicines and have a clear understanding about them. Your pharmacist can be a valuable ally, and the best way to establish this relationship starts with one easy step. Learn his or her name. To know your medicine, know your pharmacist. A public service message from the American Pharmacists Association.
Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.
Brooke Ellison, Michael Capaldi. Determination.